You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen and a special guest. Karen, who's our guest?
Our special guest is, drum roll, Mr. Albert Chan.
Hello, everybody.
And Albert is going to be talking to us about our local meteorology. Am I saying that right? No. Meteor.
Yes.
Is it meteor? Yep. I always think meteorite when I say that.
That's good.
All right. Is it going to be local or national? How far are we going with this?
Well, both actually. But I'll talk about more local because we get extremes on my temperature gauge.
Okay, so that is the plan today. And then after that, as long as we don't ramble on too much, Selena is going to be talking about our plant of the week, which is orchids.
Excellent. For those who don't know what meteorology is, it's all about the weather.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yes.
So we always talk about the weather because we've run out of things to talk about, haven't we?
Weather waffle.
But weather is very important for us gardeners. We need to know certain things like rainfall and temperature and humidity. Now, for those who may not know, Albert also has a show on Planet FM called Vinyl Revival.
Oh, yes. Yes. Little plug there for him.
And Albert, of course, my dad. So please excuse me if I say dad and you're wondering who's...
Okay, guys, let's crack into it. So we'll just start off with a few questions, starting with weather patterns between 1974, which is when Albert first started measuring the weather patterns. He takes records of rainfall, temperature, humidity. Was that sun?
No sunshine.
No sun.
And no wind either, because okay. I'm quite sheltered.
Right, okay. So he started way back in 1974 and is still going right through to 2020. So let's start. So what has been in that time, Albert, the highest and lowest annual rainfall recorded for, I'm going to say West Auckland, you're based Henderson...
Henderson North.
So that's a suburb in West Auckland. So let's see, what's the highest and lowest annual rainfall for that time?
Okay, the highest rainfall on memory is about 1,851 millimetres.
I'm actually reading your notes you sent me as well, Albert, I'm testing you.
Okay.
Yes, that is correct. In 1979, to be precise.
That's right. And the driest year is just over 1,000, 1,029 in 1982.
Yeah.
And the average for the year is 1,390.
Yes, that's right. Those figures, I mean, I don't know. what is that?
What does that almost, actually mean?
Almost 2 metres, the wettest. So almost it's like swimming in a deep pool.
It's quite a lot of water. But Auckland is known for its raininess.
That's quite a wet...
Yeah.
Would we say area?
Well, we are used to be rainforest. Well, yeah. Technically is rainforest areas.
Right? I don't know what a normal area is. Like, this is normal for me because I've always lived in New Zealand. But I have had people say to me that have lived here and lived in other, like, drier climates that they're like, yeah, it rains a lot in Auckland. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So, yeah. Wellington's known for its wind, Auckland. Maybe known for its rain.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you for that. So the next thing I was going to ask you was, and Selena actually, we're both interested, has there been a temperature rise in West Auckland? Because we're thinking sort of global warming. I know it's only a small times, really, in the big picture, 74 to 2020. What's that? Do your math.
46.
Close
years.
To half a century.
That's right, yeah. Well, we don't seem to have much frost these days, I notice. Not heavy ones anyway. Back in 1982, 83, we're getting big extremes. We're getting 7 to 8 degree frost readings. But now I'm barely touching 3 to 4 degrees. And in the morning, the temperature doesn't go below zero. We haven't had one temperature below zero this year.
Oh.
So a couple of weeks ago, it was right on zero. Mm. I couldn't make it minus 0.1.
Yeah.
That'll be cheating.
Does your temperature gauge, how low does it go?
Oh, down to minus 20.
Okay. Because I've only seen ones, you know, that I've got in the first aid kit that go from... But it's really handy to have a... Is it an electric one or...
No, it's all manual. Manual.
Mercury.
Manual, yeah. I've had my thermometers since 1972 when we had a change from Fahrenheit to Celsius.
Oh, yeah.
And we're still using them today. They should last forever as long as you don't break them.
It's like a good set of binoculars. As long as you're careful, it will last forever. So are you actually still reading in Fahrenheit but then having to convert to...
No, convert my... My thermometers, I've still got my Fahrenheit thermometers in my wardrobe in the box.
I grew up with Fahrenheit on one side and degrees Celsius on the other. I grew up with that sort of thermometer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but they still use Fahrenheit in the States.
It's still used, yeah.
So yeah. Fahrenheit is still used in America, US, because I've got my niece over there. And he doesn't know what I'm talking about if I'm saying 20 degrees C.
Yeah.
He said, what's that?
Yeah, they think it's really cold. Or is that hot? Oh, I'm confused.
I think their numbers are a lot bigger, Fahrenheit temperatures. Yeah.
So, water...
So if you're cooking, they'll say a moderate oven is something like 377 or something. Like.
And I always have to be converting when I'm baking anything.
Yeah, but it's only the States, I think, or... I don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
They still use what do they call that system?
Metric. No, ours is metric. Theirs Fahrenheit will be imperial.
Imperial. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imperial.
Yeah.
Typical. So, typical. Americans wanting to be different, you know.
There's some of these temperature conversions, you know, I can know off my heart. Like 10 is 50.
Yeah.
30 degrees C is 86 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There is an equation.
The rule of thumb that I understand why we have Celsius, because water freezes at zero and boils at 100, is that
correct?
It's easier
to understand, whereas all the Fahrenheit's are a bit way off.
So, do we actually answer the question? Has there been... Oh, no. Your email response to me, Albert, you said average overall temperature fluctuated only by 1 to 1.5 across all... the seasons. Oh, that was the seasonal variation. But anyway, the answer was we are gradually warming.
Mm.
At least by the amount of frosts or, you know,
well,
lower...
Well, less frosts now than there were back.
The temperatures aren't getting as low.
No.
But I just did a little bit of research myself. We still did get quite high temperatures from time to time back in the... 80s and 90s. We're going to talk about that now, actually.
I suppose overall, when you look at all the figures all together, on average, we are warming. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Take for instance, 1998, our hottest month, there was 10 days above 30 plus degrees temperature on that day.
Yeah.
And the maximum went up to 33.1. Mm. That's my all-time record at the moment. And we're still trying to break that if I can.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. In February.
That's really
February hot. Over 10 days over 30 degrees. What was I doing in 1998? Oh, I think I was at uni. It's all a bit of a blur. So that was across the country? Oh, so we're still talking west.
No, that was across the country.
So I was in Palmerston North. So
further south, you go down to Gisborne. Go down to Gisborne and Napier. I think they were recording temperatures in the high 30s and the low 40s.
Interesting. I wonder if that was maybe to do with maybe solar flares or something going a bit...
El Nino.
Oh, that's endless, though. Mm. It's always, we've got to hit a hot month. It's down there. I feel like that's just like the go-to.
Yeah.
Do you? Like, it's like, yeah, isn't it ever going to pass?
Blame it on.
Yeah, any weather variation, it's like, yeah. So with the global New Zealand warming, it would be probably, you reckon... creeping up maybe by, on average, a degree?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Doesn't seem like much. Mm. But I do feel a bit like the frog in the pot with this.
Yes, it's gradually getting warmer and warmer. I guess for us gardeners, it means we can grow more frost-free, tender subtropicals.
Yeah.
Yeah, which might be a good thing.
And with that variation, and that's in the 90s as well, Albert reported the heaviest frost at -8.9 degrees in 1994.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's interesting, in the 90s you had like really hot 90s were an interesting time indeed. Neither here nor there, really, weren't they? I thought. You know, you think 90s. Oh, what happened?
We had water crisis, didn't we?
We had 1994 water crisis.
Auckland water crisis.
I wasn't in.
I remember that. I wasn't. We had to stop flushing our toilets so much.
Well, we should be doing that anyway.
Yeah.
Really. Well, I wonder how much water would be sort of released every time you flush the toilet. Mm. I think it's maybe a couple of litres or maybe more.
Now we've got low flush toilets and it's become regular.
But even then it's like, I've just put a sign up in our toilet saying, if it's yellow, let it mellow. Because we've got to start. It's a couple of litre right there. Yeah. Boom, done, you know. All right, so I don't know if you guys were listening to the show that I did with Selena, but it was mostly me rambling on about the humidity and dew points and all that kind of thing. It's quite complex, actually. Humidity is related to pressure and temperature. All three kind of act together, I believe, depending on your atmospheric pressure and all this, so I'm about, what do you call it, two, when you've got two different parameters, and then after that my brain just goes, no, I'm three dimensions, so my question was, what about humidity? I don't quite understand my own question. Albert reads humidity every day at 9 a.m.
That's right, and at 9 a.m. the humidity was always higher than the rest of the day. For instance, I'm just looking at my chart now. Every morning it's in the 90s, and there's a couple of days here with 100.
So, Ed, can you explain what that means? What is 100% humidity?
Hopefully better than what I could.
Okay, 100% humidity is, I have two thermometers in my thermometer box, what you call a wet and a dry bulb. On a wet bulb, you have a muslin and a wick to go into a bottle of water, and it keeps the bottom thermometer wet all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if both thermometers are reading exactly no difference, it's 100% humidity. So it's roughly 10% less for every 1 degree.
Mm.
So for instance, if the thermometer is 2 degrees difference, you can say roughly its humidity is around about the 80% range. So in 5 degrees, we'll go down to about 50% or more.
So it's quite interesting, and that's why that day when we were talking about how to save your plants from frost and whatnot and all the suggestions I had, one of them was, don't mulch too heavily, because what you basically want that water vapour coming up from the soil around your plants as much as possible, because the more water vapour there is in the air, the less the dew point. I think there's something like that. So it all ties into...
My brain is trying to picture it.
Yeah, it affects things like temperature and,
I suppose when gardeners think about humidity, usually we're told for indoor plants, keep the humidity high because plants like that.
Yeah.
By putting water in trays. Or
and that all affects, that all affects the amount of water there is. So, it's interesting. It's quite a science. It's a lot to get your head around. But so that, just ties into
very high humidity is very uncomfortable, isn't it?
It is,
Like you're swimming and swimming.
But then, by the same token, a very dry humidity can be quite uncomfortable as well. So there's a comfortable range. You'll find graphs that have got, it's shaded where it's like, when the atmospheric pressure is this, and when this and the humidity is that, they've got comfortable area shaded in. Yeah. And then on the extremes, it's like not so comfortable. Yeah.
So what would you say is a comfortable humidity range?
I'd say about 50 to 65.
Okay.
All right.
It's interesting because he said in the summer months, during the mid-afternoon, the humidity was usually in the 30% range.
Oh, yeah, it can go down to that low. I remember one day my dry bulb temperature was reading about 28 and the other one was only reading 19.
And that, so
there's
that's
9 degrees
just
difference
because you've
for a start.
So much heat. The sun is just really
drying up
powerful.
Everything.
And that's right. Interesting. Mm. So that were, those are my questions anyway. So thank you for that, Albert.
Okay.
Cool. For us gardeners, I suppose we just take the weather as it comes. Karen, do you sort of pay any attention to weather forecasts on the news?
No, not really, because the news just depresses me, so I just kind of avoid it. But I think I would definitely be paying more attention if I had like a large-scale operation where... Yeah.
Well, if you're a farmer or something.
If I was, my earnings were dependent on my crops, for sure. I mean, a few plants lost in my backyard, it's sort of like,
What I was thinking for a weather forecast, if they could report, because on the news, they only report what the maximum, minimum temperature and whether it's going to be sunny or cloudy or rainy that day, and then a few other bits and bobs. So it's not really useful for us gardeners, I don't think.
And they don't mention rainfall figures either.
No,
they don't.
And I think that's essential, especially if you want to save water or you're going to be using a lot of water.
I think just because I don't pay attention, I'm not saying that's right. I think it's important to pay attention to your surroundings and where everything's at, weather-wise, astrology-wise, because it does impact us.
So NIWA, what does NIWA stand for again?
Yeah, it's quite a long story. I had to look it up this morning. It stands for the National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research Limited.
Okay.
So it's abbreviated as NIWA, short.
Mm-hmm. So you send all the figures to that organisation?
That's right. Every month or tribal, within the first week of the last month.
Yeah.
And they collate it on their database.
Yeah.
Which I think most people can pick it up on the NIWA database.
Yes.
The trouble is you've got to have a password to get it.
Okay.
So do you have to be, qualified to
I've been on NIWA's network since 1986.
Okay.
How do you become qualified to do that?
Well, the Met People Service, they get around to me, and they ask me if you want to be qualified to go on the network.
Okay.
Okay. So a lot of my figures are not reported anyway. It's only NIWA. You won't see my figures in the newspapers at all.
Mm.
All they concentrate is the Auckland weather, which is taken at Mangere.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I know where they take their figures from because it's well exposed across the airport on Manukau Harbour. That's why in the summertime, you'll notice the temperatures are always lower than inland. So they could be 25 there and Henderson could be 28, 29.
There's a lot of microclimates around.
The microclimates,
Yeah.
That's why people go to the beaches. And the beaches could be 25, but inland, 27, 28, 29.
That's interesting. Oh. Is that, dare I say, humidity?
I've heard of humidity. Could be higher too.
Because you don't get that wind movement so much as like when you're near the coastline, you get that sea breeze.
That's right, The higher, if I had my thermometers up in Massey Heights, I wouldn't get the extremes what I'm getting where I am.
Because we're down low.
We're down low. Actually, my site is actually 7 metres above sea level.
And I don't really... I know a lot of people come to New Zealand and I know a lot of people. My mum was one of them. She came from England with this dream of living on an island in the Pacific.
Yeah.
And as a result, she's seen it through. She's built, a house at Matakana on view of the ocean and stuff. But I still, she goes, everyone, it's so wonderful, seaside. It's too exposed and too much. I like to be inland a bit more. It's a bit sheltered. That's just my own personal, So I try to get excited for it. And she's obviously a beach person, but I find it quite challenging, even gardening on the...
It is tough for gardeners by the sea because they get the salt spray.
Even she's
wind.
Struggling. It just gets really exposed and she's a, long-time gardener, Seemed to be a lot easier in the Waikato for her,
So for us gardeners, it might be a good idea we could set up our own little weather station in our little gardens just to... keep an eye on
things. It would definitely
things.
Be an interesting thing to do. Good on you, Albert, it's important information. Obviously valid because you're a part of the NIWA group.
Well, you naturally, you need a rain gauge for a start anyway to measure how much rain's falling.
Yeah.
You need rain gauge, you need thermometers and anything else?
No, that's the main.
Does it have to be done every day, or could you, like, say if we just set one up down at the community garden and say when people are down there, they just go, oh, let's, you know, at least once a week?
No, once a week's too long.
Too long.
You have to do it every day, 9 o'clock.
I'm already going, commitment.
talking about weather, my 24-hour reading is 9 a.m. to 9 a.m., not midnight to midnight, which the... on the computer-wise, computer stations, they go from midnight to midnight, but the proper weather station is 9 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Yeah.
24-hour reading.
Mm. But then, like, if you read it at midnight, you wouldn't, like, the temperatures would be...
No, they wouldn't.
Lower, wouldn't they?
No, no. The lowest temperatures always occur around about sunrise.
What do they say? The darkness before the dawn, or that moment when you think, oh, I can't cope any longer, you know, if you're sleeping outside or whatever, and then suddenly the sun comes up and it's,
I was just going to mention how NIWA gets all this data from all the people who are entering that, recording all that data for weather. And I was just looking on their website this morning, and they were wanting people to measure the river levels.
Yeah.
So that they can predict or get an idea of flooding situations and things like that. And I thought that would be really useful information.
Well, yes and no. I mean, when rivers flood, it's usually, I don't know how, like, I'm going to just throw a figure out there. 75% of the time, people are caught unawares.
Mm,
it's like when you have that much rain, what are you going to do, man? Like, but look, hey, I could be. Hey, maybe we could. I don't know. That's just me being
Our water, like our dams and things, our rain catchment areas, like the percentage of water that is in there.
And then, that was the other thought that came to mind. If you're going to measure river depth, and you've got dams everywhere that are like blocking the whole function of streams and rivers. The river's dry today.
But what they were going to do was have an overall visual picture of the general river flows.
Yeah.
All across the country.
Look, any information is good information, isn't it, Selena, at the end of the day?
Yeah. So even
it'd be interesting to see what they say about ocean levels.
True, it's been I heard it's been.
People say
acidification and
it's going up,
getting salty.
And then other people say, "Oh no, it's always going to go up and go down because that's the movement of the tectonic plates, and there's no, you know, it's always done that." So
okay,
we need this information actually.
Yeah. So moving along. Talking about weather, one plant that's going to be needs the weather quite controlled.
Yes.
Our plant of the week.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I've chosen orchids as our plant of the week because they are flowering right now. So if you have any, usually it'll be the cymbidium type that is quite easy to grow. They are flowering and they're looking lovely.
What is an orchid? Is it like...
An orchid...
How do you define bulb?
Well, it's not really a bulb. It's an epiphytic, which means a plant that lives in the trees, or lithophytic, which lives on rocks.
Oh!
Flower.
You were telling me off for getting too technical last time, Selena. But that's interesting. So some live in rocks, some live in... Okay.
Yeah, so they don't actually need soil. They just, hook themselves onto
their trees. Oh, that's interesting.
Which is why they can be quite fussy about where they're grown. And you don't put them in soil. So if you are going to grow them in a pot or something, maybe fill it up with bark.
Yeah.
And then the roots, because they like good drainage. They don't want to be, in water.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's probably why a lot of people kill their orchids.
Yeah, I would probably do that. I'd probably just go, oh, it needs some nice soil. Okay.
So they overwater them, but they're used to living in the crooks of branches on the trees. So that's the conditions that you need to provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got my orchids living under my tangelo tree, and they really like it there because it's just enough shade for them and light for them, and they're in pots and it doesn't get too rainy or wet. So
they've just started flowering now, have they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
And there are different types of orchids. Orchids are a huge family of plants, and they're all over the world except for Antarctica.
They're a big deal.
Yeah. And they are beautiful, beautiful flowers, come in all different colours, and they are bred and they are prized, and there are like orchid societies, and there are obsessed people who just collect them.
And a lot of crossbreeding, enterprises out there. Yeah, it's a lot of interest, but they're a beautiful,
beautiful,
unique looking flower.
You can even join orchid societies, and they will regularly have shows every year. You can just go have a look and just be bowled over by the variety of orchids in bloom there. So the main types, as I mentioned before, Cymbidians is a popular yellow type that's quite easy to grow, but the ones you might see in the shops are called Phalaenopsis or the moth orchid.
Okay.
That's quite a popular one with the little white or the bright pink, hot pink cerise or even magenta flowers. And Catillas, they're gorgeous, gorgeous flowers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll look out for them. So when would be a good time for people to go to the shops and look for those?
Any time because, well, when they're in bloom, which is round about now, and if you're going to be buying one, get one that's sort of going into bloom so you have an idea of what type of flower it would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Useful information.
Yeah. And
thank
those
you.
Flowers last for a very long time. But make sure you cut them. Then they can grow again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So you can get a second season out of them.
Yeah.
So they're an annual.
No.
Not an annual. A perennial.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Then you can justify the expenditure there because they're quite expensive, aren't they?
Yeah. We might talk about that part of it in our next episode, Karen.
What's that?
Of plant hunting. And
oh, yes, that's right. That is coming up. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, something to look forward to, Selena.
Okay.
Oh, thanks for joining us, Albert. It's been awesome.
Just one thing I want to mention. We talk about the hottest month, February 1998. I'm just looking at my chart now. Come July, a wet month, 380 millimetres fell in that same year. The same month, so you can never expect what you expect.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about like things flooding and stuff. It just suddenly like you're just like you get the weather's just
random.
We're in no control at all, really. No. All right, very good.
Okay, gardeners, that's it for today. But I hope we'll be back next week.
And
more gardening.
Awesome. Have a great week, guys.
And same to you.
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Again. I'm singing and dancing in the rain.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.